The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's time to get this party started with Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty, booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime World Daily Hour. I guess our penultimate show, although we'll have a wrap show on Monday, right? But the World Cup's done by then, so it won't be World Daily, I don't think. So it's our penultimate show of this experience of the last 6 weeks. I'm James Sharman. We have Amy W. Walsh, Craig Shea Wonga, because Craig Forrest is at Wonga's place right now, JC and me, Jimmy Brennan, and there's Wonga, looking very bored. He's sitting in front of a board.
Yeah, like
it doesn't
that.
Work for radio, does it, or podcasts, but for video it works. Hello everyone, how you doing? Have you had time to decompress after what happened on Wednesday night and our little late shenanigans on the podcast?
Can I ask you the same thing?
Yeah, well, I was doing well. I was away, of course, for a couple of nights to kind of decompress under the stars. Of course, the smoke ruined that. Thanks, wildfires. But no, I'm just as angry now as I was then, Craig.
Still, it's okay. You got your Japanese jersey on there and wait, well played.
I've switched that, and I'm now a Canada and a Japan fan.
Oh, I like it. I like that jersey.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really nice. Yeah. And I'm going to be wearing it with pride, and I will clean the stadium after every match I watch.
No, you won't.
No, you won't.
Who's the arsehole leaving all this crap around? Oh, he used to be an England fan.
You don't clean the bedroom.
Don't clean myself. All right, so today we've got a match. We've got France against England in the third place game. Should we spend any time asking? Let me ask you this. Which fan base should be more angry that they're playing today?
Oh, I like
French
that.
Fan base or the English fan base? Jimmy Brennan, we missed you on Wednesday. What are your thoughts?
I would say probably France. And the reason being is because I think everybody pretty much had them as their favorites to win the World Cup. And obviously getting knocked out and playing the third place game. So I think their fans would be absolutely gutted, just as their players are as well, because they didn't meet their expectations.
That's a good point, actually, because they can look at their players and say, why didn't you show up? Not so much the coaching. Whereas I think with England, the fans are like all about Thomas Tuchel. They're almost giving the players a pass, it seems.
Mm.
It's all about the manager.
Should.
You think so, yeah? Still after 2 days, it's still on the gaffer?
Still on him. He has to take responsibility for that. What a debacle.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think maybe, Sharms, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, but it's easier. Yeah, I knew that was coming. It's inevitable, maybe like Spain or Argentina. But it's almost easier for fans, I think, to scapegoat a manager than it is to try to go after a player or players or the collective. Whereas I think for France, the third place match might mean more because they just didn't show up and compete the way that everybody expected them to.
Yeah, no, that's valid. And maybe they can show the fans that they are still there. That is still the France they love. And they're still going to be competing for the Nations League and for the European Championships. I'm not sure England fans at this point believe England can ever win anything. Because, Jimmy, again, we've seen this the same thing happen that they always see, right? A decent performance end in surrender by sitting so deep. When you watch that game, what were your thoughts? I know we're all very much on the same page here. So what are you doing? Why are you playing that way? Do you have the same opinion or contrary?
No, I do. I just think, you know, that once you go 1-0 up, you got to continue being on the front foot. In Argentina, you can't drop because they'll just bring wave after wave after attack. Did I like the way that they were defending? No, because at times they would have five across the back, three across the middle, two up top, where Bellingham was actually coming alongside Kane. And part of the reason was because they wanted everything. They wanted things starting to stop getting penetrated through the middle. And they were trying to force it out wide. But they just became deeper and deeper. And I also thought that when they did get it, it was too far for them to get up the pitch. And they didn't have enough options. And when I look at Tuchel, I thought he should have been making subs around that 60-minute mark and bringing on fresh legs, because you could see the players were absolutely gassed. And you're not making subs until, 80 minutes? That's way too late for me when you're holding on to a game, because those fresh legs would have helped you push up the field and get your back line up as well. You know, I think with Argentina, they got it right with the subs that they made. They brought numerous players on at one time. Martinez came on, and Otamendi, DePaul, just fresh legs that gave something. And I just felt the subs as well with England, when they did come on, I just felt that they didn't match the work rate and energy of what Argentina was doing. Now, my opinion, when a sub comes on, you're going to make a difference. And I just felt that the subs didn't really make a difference either. And I just felt they got locked into that system, too defensive. And they need a change, and they need it earlier, bringing on the fresh legs. And that was it. You're just inviting pressure. And Argentina's the last team in the world that you can invite pressure on.
Do you think the Mexico game and then that Norway game, two arduous matches in real tough conditions, physically, did it affect England? And I mean, if England had been knackered, it was an air-conditioned stadium. There's a roof on it, right? There really wasn't that much excuse to say they were gassed at the 60, 70, 80-minute mark.
No, there's no excuse to say that the games prior were any difficult than what Argentina was playing. Argentina played some tough, tough matches where they're actually behind in matches and had to lift the level to come back and win games. So that's no excuse. Every team's, you know, had to go through their own situations to get where they are today. But there's definitely no excuses. When you look at that England squad on paper and the quality that they had, they needed to hold on and get a result in that. And I just felt that they got it wrong tactically. Like I said, with their shape, I thought their substitutions, I just didn't understand some of them as well.
You know, I think, Dubs, in retrospect, what has changed as I wake up this Saturday morning is that my respect level for Argentina has grown even more. Hmm. And I think, lost amidst all the vitriol and anger being spewed towards Thomas Tuchel, what Argentina did was pretty amazing, right? And to do it again, and to see that number 10 do it again, we should be giving them, and not every team would have been able to do that against England. We saw that. Mexico couldn't do it. Norway couldn't do it. This team just keeps doing it. So I think we should give them a little bit of elevation, wind under their wings, say, wow, what a performance.
This message is brought to you by Tim Hortons at participating restaurants in Canada for a limited time.
Introducing Tim's Taste of the Globe, a limited time squad of globally inspired Timbits and iced cap flavors.
And trust us, this lineup came to play.
We're talking a Brazilian lime cheesecake Timbit,
a French chocolate creme brulee Timbit,
an Italian cappuccino Timbit,
and a Canadian fireworks Timbit,
plus a Mexican caramel churro ice cap that absolutely deserves a chant.
It's game on at Tim's with the new Timbits and ice cap flavors from around the globe.
Try them all today.
I will.
I know you will. Now back to the show.
I think this morning on the dark web, you shared the confrontation or an exchange of words between Jude Bellingham and Lionel Messi. And then you just see, and this is going to become a meme because it's a couple of things exchanged in Spanish. It's a conversation. It seems respectful, but it's heated because it's after the beginning where it was highly combative. And there were a couple of, you know, two-footed challenges on Anderson. And it was just exactly, it was by design. It was how Argentina wanted to start. They wanted to disrupt England and get them off their game. But England were able to withstand it. But then you just see the answer after it goes back and forth between Bellingham and Messi. And then Messi just goes, he kind of like turns his mouth down to be like, yeah, okay, yep, I got it. And it was like you woke the beast, you poked the bear. And it took a while for it to happen, but, and I mentioned it on our show on Wednesday night, where England get the goal with Gordon, and it's a beautifully executed counterattack. But then even before Tuchel, and so maybe here I'll take the blame off him a little bit, even before he started to make these negative subs, there was just the instinctively England started to sit back. And it was Martinez, I think, post-game was just like, that's what we needed. They were going toe-to-toe with us. It was a battle. We were the more reactive side. And then the goal forces Scaloni to be proactive in the way that he's substituting. And it was the Gonzalez substitution where he takes off Paredes. And that changed the game. And then Jimmy alluded to the fact that they were sitting in, with three midfielders trying to keep them peripheral. And Messi just drifts over and he finds that space. And at that point, I think Wenger was throwing around the word inevitable, but it just seems that way for Messi and Argentina and this collision course with whoever they were going to meet in a final, you know, whether it was going to be Spain or France. And a lot of people are screaming about conspiracy theories, but it's not like it's the brilliance of this guy. It's the collective belief. It's the understanding about how to execute and how to do it. Like it could have been more than just the two goals. You know, because then it was Tuchel being reactive to, you know, getting beat on the side. So he brings in O'Reilly and then they're sitting with four in the midfield, but it didn't matter because they were still going to be able to pump in those crosses. So yeah, kudos to Argentina because like I didn't like it. I found them much the same way I found myself rooting for France. Whereas before that game kicked off, I didn't think I was going for France, but I was, and I was disappointed and my emotion got in the way, kind of clouded my judgment. I found the same thing in this, in the England Argentina, where I'm always rooting for Messi, but I definitely did not want to see this Argentina team go through. But you have to stand back and appreciate what they were able to generate and execute when it counted, because that's what they've done time and time again.
Yeah, you've seen Lautaro Martinez post-match and the tears, like what it means to this team. There's something about, I think Craig's mentioned it before, certain nations, it seems to mean more. I'm not saying they wanted it more than England, because England have a ton of pressure on them, maybe more than any other team. But that Argentine team, there's something, it's not tangible. I don't know what it is, something greater than that they have to get these results, and they found a way. And Craig, it's funny, you know, everyone, you know, hammering Tuchel and hammering O'Reilly and how can you let Messi operate in that space and do what he did? It's ridiculous. How long has he been playing professional football for? Since 2007-ish? And he's been doing it to everyone, the exact same thing. And no one's figured it out just yet. So that, yeah. If I can look back on my initial emotion and my anger, I can comment also that, you know what? They're not the first team to be undone by Leo Messi.
Mm-hmm. No, he's been doing it for 20-odd years. It just amazes me how, you know, we see great players that sometimes get stifled in matches, and he doesn't. He just always seems to find space and find the ball. Like, oh, I'm going to get it. I'll get it out wide. I'll get it in the middle. I'll get it centrally. I'll run at you. I'll cross balls, left foot, right foot. Like, what the fuck? The quality that he brings is just insane.
Yeah.
And the space he had in the end on the right-hand side was just, I mean, he had an acre of space there just to pick out crosses.
It's crazy when you look at it and you think, you just know he's going on his left foot. And defenders come out and it's like, they know he's going to his left, but he just does this little drop. And he sends him for a hot dog and then he's back on his left foot.
Yeah.
And then he's on his right for the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's so explosive as well. So at 39 years old, that 5 yards, how quick is he still?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jimmy, tell me, you're a fullback, Jimmy. Like, explain to me, the layman here. We all know what he's going to do, and there's great athletes out there who can drop their shoulder. There's many players with a little shimmy, right? There's many. Every team's got one. What makes his shimmy better than everyone else's?
I think he's got that low sense of gravity. He's small, isn't he? He's just jinxy. Little fella. But he's one of them. If you're playing against him and the manager says, oh, okay, Messi's coming up, you'd be like, okay, do you want me to show him inside or outside? Where do you want me to show this guy? It doesn't matter. The guy's going around you. Like, you can't stop him. His balance is ridiculous. What about that one play in the middle of the park where Anderson's on his back, then Bellingham's down, and then if somebody like Rodgers was down, it's just, And then he gets fouled and there's like four England players on the ground around
him. Yeah. Well, it's Anderson that's got to come through him to stop him because he just dinks it in between two players and he was going to be off.
I love that, by the way. Attaboy, Elliot. Mm-hmm. Get stuck in.
I know.
Needed a car crash.
Would have done the same.
To stop him.
Yeah.
I mean, that by the way, that nod, I've seen it a number of times now. And you know when you're a kid and you watch Halloween and there's the scenes where Michael Myers appears in the background? And that cold chill descends upon you. That's why I literally felt, oh, not at the time, didn't see it. But every time I see it since, like, oh, God, that's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
That was the moment it switched on. So, all right. You want to play that way? Okay. We'll play mm-hmm. that way. I'm going to beat you now. Just watch me. It's like pointing. It's like Babe Ruth pointing the home run. Like, you say, I'm going to beat you. I'm just telling you, I'm going to beat you right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, but that's going to happen.
Yeah. See this right channel? Yeah. That's where I'm going to be set up.
Yeah. Right there. He's pointing to the right channel.
Yeah.
But he's one of those players too, where you're probably sitting in the dressing room going, okay, guys, don't poke the bear here. Just shut up. Mm-hmm. Leave this guy alone. And you see sometimes in games where he's just drifting, he's quiet and you're going, okay, he's quiet today. But then he just gets it and goes, but goal 1-0, you've just lost. And then other guys are going, maybe if we wind this guy up, let's get into him, see what happens. And he does the same thing. He's like, okay, you know what? I'll show you now. I mean, you just can't contain him. Try to get in his head. Try not to get in his head. Show him left. Show him right. Doesn't matter. The guy's different level.
Wasn't the stat, I think they said on the broadcast, he's walked 47% of the time. Now, I don't know what the average person walks. Everyone walks on the football pitch at a certain time, obviously. I'm not sure the average, but it's a lot more than most players. But then they said, but the 53%, oh God, you know, he's doing something incredible with that 53%. He's 39, right? And he's still playing. Now we see players decline. Everyone declines, you know, usually by this point. But it's not usually a dramatic decline. You can see it over a couple of seasons, you know, dropping. From what you've seen at the World Cup, would it surprise you to see this guy defy all the odds and be back in 4 years' time, playing for Argentina?
And Barcelona. I am back from Miami. He's good for another 3 years. Even what? At 50%, he's still better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. He is, though. You can see him. Yeah. Like, this guy's going to be playing into his early 40s, approaching his mid-40s, and still being a game changer. Don't you think, Craig?
It seems like it. I wouldn't put the... put a bet against it.
No.
You know, it's just we're seeing something we've never thought we would see. I mean, last time out, we thought it was in 2022, probably his last chance to win a World Cup. And at 39, that's probably not going to happen. And here we are in the final again. Like, it's quite something. Two teams that couldn't beat Cabo Verde in 90 minutes.
That's right.
Right. But I mean, this is maybe this is why MLS and Inter Miami are so confident to throw everything at him and to commit so much of their branding over a guy who's really old, because they figure we got another 2 or 3 years of this still. This isn't a guy that's going to retire after the World Cup, Wonga. This guy's going to be pushing that whole brand.
You keep milking until this cow is empty. Just keep getting those udders. Yeah.
I wonder if he's made it known, you know, either to Scaloni in Argentina or to his teammates or to Inter Miami and the brass there about what his intentions are. Or if he even knows, he must realize like the fact that he's still able to compete and to be the very best at a World Cup. It must give him pause, even if his plans were to call it a day, you know, because he's been able to adapt, unlike Ronaldo, which is obviously the comparison that we seek every single time, who has been almost belligerent and stubborn and trying to play the same brand of football, and it's obviously not worked. So you see the decline in front of your eyes, whereas Messi, he keeps finding ways to conjure the brilliance because he is walking 47% of the time. And obviously there's, you know, the advances in in the care of the players and the technology and the medical staff and what they're doing off the pitch in order to prolong what's happening on the pitch. And we know that Ronaldo has doubled down on that aspect, right? But Messi's doing it too, right? He's benefited from some of that, but it's for me and how he's altered his game, how he's tweaked it to still remain at the top. So I wouldn't discount it. I'm with Forrest. I would not bet against him participating in another 4 years, honestly. I would be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that, your back pocket. You know, drop Messi in the 70th minute.
Yeah, he's good for 20 minutes.
That would kill Ronaldo.
It really would.
For that alone, it's probably worth it.
You would see Ronaldo in the next one with knee braces and everything. I'm going to play longer.
See? I don't know. I mean, I obviously never played that level, not having that competitiveness that you guys would have had playing at the top level. It can't be easy to say farewell at the top. Say he wins a World Cup. It would be a great time for him to say, internationally speaking, I'm done. All right, that's it. You're welcome. But there's got to be that drive, like, let's keep going. Let's see how far we can push this thing. I don't think if he continued and they lost Copa America, went out early in the Copa America and that was his swan song. That doesn't affect anything, right? Not a thing. But then I hear the team, chanting his name and saying, do it for Leo. That's one of the chants in the room, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, like Dubs, to his point there, maybe they do know. Maybe he has told them, this is my last World Cup, guys. This is my last international tournament. And then, that's part of what's driving them forward, that push. But it's got to be difficult for a guy what he's achieved to know when the right time is when he's doing this.
Yeah, I think so. It's always difficult, and I've never been in that position, but we've seen different iterations of players who've been the absolute best. Whether you're talking about your respective sport or, a striker or a midfielder or whatever, if you're going to get into the nitty-gritty and the specifics of it, of when to find that right timing, like to plan your exit. Is it to prolong the inevitable and maybe you risk tarnishing your legacy, which I don't think would ever happen here with Messi? Or it's like you're saying, Sharms, it's go out on top. If they're able to win back-to-back World Cups, and then he's like, okay, I'm done for the international game, and I'll keep playing in MLS. I'll keep playing for Inter Miami for a little while longer. I always think that almost gives athletes the best of both worlds, or at least in where football is concerned, where you can call it a day, finish out on top if you're lucky enough to do it, or a good performance, and you feel like you've given your everything for the country and for your teammates and for everybody involved, and you can continue not to embarrass yourself, but to play, and you have accepted that it's a lesser level, regardless of where you're playing. And it almost gives you the chance to have that balance versus just saying, okay, like hard stop, this is it. Cold turkey, I'm done. And you're saying farewell on both the international stage and the club stage professionally. Like that must be so difficult to be able to balance.
And having that known when it's your last game, right? I know you guys didn't all have that opportunity to know when it was your last game. What would be nice, I guess nice would be to see Messi, he does what he does at the World Cup this time around. He announces, I'm retiring from international football, and then have one last match at, like, he's from Newell's Old Boys, right? I think that's where the journey began. Wherever their stadium is, Newell's.
Argentina.
Is that Rosario? Is that where they play? Newell's Old Boys? I think it might be Rosario. Anyway, wherever the stadium is, have the final match, have Argentina against Brazil or something. A farewell to Leo. That would be kind of cool. Internationally, to have that moment, I think. But I just have a suspicion that he's going to keep on plodding away. Mm. I really do. Copa's, a couple of years away.
I can imagine a national team, and you guys tell me, it must be because he is going to be 40 next year, right? And some of these guys he's playing with are, 18, 19, 20 years old?
Look at Yamal in the picture, the baby, and he's playing against him.
But I was thinking, it must be difficult, though, that transition when it's all your buddies in your 20s, because you're all playing together, then all of a sudden you're early 30s, it's the star pack that are all still playing together. But it's when your buddies aren't there anymore. Because that's what must make it fun, right? Craig, Jimmy, Amy, having that, you know the locker room you're walking into, and you have your friends around you and it's, hey, we're doing this for the next 3 weeks together. Let's keep going. That, and I think that would be what, the hardest thing he'd miss, but even more a way to say, hey, if my, these guys are still around, I'm going to keep going. Right? Because it can't be fun playing with a bunch of people you don't even know after a while, I think.
Well, I think he's got players that he played with that were 60 now, and then he's playing against players that are 17, 18 years of age. Like, it's quite amazing. You know, I was just looking here, like, just as a reminder, when he was at Barcelona, he won 10 La Liga titles. He won 7 or 8 Copa del Reyes, 4 Champions Leagues, 3 UEFA Super Leagues, 3 FIFA Club World Cups. He goes to Paris Saint-Germain, wins 2 Ligue 1 titles, wins the cup as well. And then he's at Miami, 2025 winners, 2005 under 20 World Cup winner, 2008 Olympic gold winner that nobody even talks about.
I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Individually, Ballon d'Or, World Player of the Year, 8 times. It just goes on and on and on. Golden Ball, 2014, 2022 at the FIFA World Cup. Silver Boot, 22. Golden Ball, 2009, 2011. Under 20 World Cup Golden Ball. It just goes on and on and on. Like, it is individual.
Yeah. Fair to say.
Yeah.
He played under Maradona, don't forget, right? Remember Maradona's stint as Argentine coach?
Yeah.
He was on the pitch. He's playing. That's how far back he goes. Yeah. What a good example to set, I imagine.
Yeah.
But maybe it was, because no one can probably understand Lionel Messi more than Diego Maradona. Forget the off-the-field nonsense, but as far as the footballer himself, you're operating on such a different level to everyone else. There's no one else. I mean, listen, respect to Ronaldo, but as far as he was very mechanical, brilliant player, you can debate whether he's better than Messi or not, it's fine. But Maradona, the way he played, that free role, just there's no one else close, right? Maybe Pele, but as far as Argentina is concerned, Craig, that's the only guy that can really be inside Messi's head. Let's hope Messi's never inside Maradona's head. That would be scary, but the other way around.
Yeah, he wouldn't be playing when he's 44.
Jimmy's got to leave us. Jimmy, thanks, pal.
All right, talk to you after.
Have a great day. Say hi to Toronto FC for us.
Will do.
You were right, Jones, by the way. New as old boys, Rosario, Santa Fe.
It is Rosario, yeah, okay. I tell you what, though, Wonga, you mentioned how, you know, he's playing with all these young players and that. I mean, it must be really annoying as well. Because, God, 19-year-olds are annoying.
Yes. This is my point. I like, if he has some players on his team, like his teammates, who you know that you see the smiles in their face, they enjoy each other's time. You can tell that they're homies, right? Like, hey, I'm coming in. And I would think the biggest part of that is his enjoyment of that room. Because obviously your skills are going to decline if they do decline. But it's about the resilience of that room and it being a place where you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah. Sorry, we heard a beating drum in the background there. We're not sure who it is.
Sorry, it's me. I was typing.
Oh, okay. But yeah, Wonga, no, it's a valid point. But that only lasts so long, right? It must come to a point where, okay, I need to go back to my room and spend some time alone here, because these kids are just really pissing me off at the moment.
Yeah.
Them and their games.
The 6 and 7, have that?
It's not called 6-7 there. It's called, what would that be? What's 6 and 7 in Spanish?
Siete.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Siete.
Like, shut the F up.
No, the only one on the roster who comes close to him, I was curious, as it was the beating drum, it was my furious typing here to look at the breakdown of the Argentine roster by age. I thought Emi Martinez would be closer, but he's 33. Otamendi's 38. So maybe that's his kind of generational homie right there.
In the World Cup still.
But everybody else, like Lautaro Martinez is 28. You've got Paz, the forward, who's 18. So how about that gap?
What a lesson, right? Though. He can learn each day around Messi.
I mean, Enzo's 25. You know, you have midfielders who are a little bit older, like DePaul, Paredes are 32. Even Romero, great, I thought was, yeah, Romero, I thought was a little bit older. He's only 28.
Is he really?
I thought
he was 34. No. Jesus.
No, but I mean, that's like usually when you look at primes and like teams who are winning trophies, who are able to be like these dynasties, you're looking at like late 20s, right? Is like the majority of your roster. And then you've got like the outliers below them, like the teenagers and the superstars who are just emerging, breaking onto the scene. And then you've got a couple kind of old heads. And then it just so happens that Messi is his generational talent is all of those things where he might be disconnected from the young kids in a locker room, but the reverence that they have for him more than makes up for it. Right. So it's all of these things together. It's the grand intangible. We talked about it, you know, the way that they were able to get by Cabo Verde and then get through Egypt and then get through Switzerland, where it looked like each time that they were going to be bounced. And then they're not. And they find a different gear. They find a different level. And they have perhaps the greatest player of all time who is still showing up and delivering on the world stage. So to me, I think, you know, Forrest, you mentioned on Wednesday that you think that they're not going to come close to Spain. I just think the great intangible and the do it for Messi, I just think that is going to be worth so much.
Mm. I'd agree with that too.
Will it be worth enough to win?
It might be. Maybe keep it close for as long as you can, and then it's the thing that kind of moves the needle late in the game.
The later it goes, it plays into their hands, right?
I want to just say, sorry, you know who we're doing this for, this podcast / show? We're doing this for Tim Hortons, JC.
I was like, Jimmy? Are we doing it for Jimmy?
We're doing it for the Jimmy.
And we're doing it for the World Cup Watch Canada, brought to you by Tim's. It's game on with Tim's. Horton, that is.
Well, listen, no, that's a great time, I think, to bring in some comments. We've got lots of comments from Canadians, which is why it's a great segue.
Before we bring in comments, can I just ask Amy and Craig, this third-place match, have you played in a third-place match? And how horrible is playing in a third-place match? Or how good is it?
Well, it all depends. I think if you're playing for an Olympic bronze medal, that means something. But at the World Cup, it really hasn't really meant anything. Not on the same level, not even close. And I don't think the French or England want any part of this at this stage. I think Tuchel even mentioned it after, like, in the press conference. Not all that interested in it.
Be almost embarrassing heading out. He won't be happy. But I mean, the ticket prices have gone way down. I think you can get a ticket for like $700, which is still insane for a third place game. But from what they were going for, they've just dropped. And you think, I mean, as far as third place games goes, it's pretty good. England, France, it could be a great match. There's no pressure. Is there pressure on these guys, Craig? I mean, I don't know. I mean, they don't want to be there. At the same time, go out with something. You beat France or you beat England. It's like, okay, well, at least we came out of the World Cup with a win, kind of.
Yeah, that's kind of it. It's like, we don't want to be here, but we also don't want to lose. Mm-hmm. Kind of one of them, but I'm not sure what they'll do. I think there'll be quite a few changes in both sides, I would expect.
Yeah,
Tuchel's going to put 11 across the back, or 10.
Imagine if he four did the goalies, same thing again.
Four keepers.
If he does the same thing again, that would be something special, wouldn't it?
That would be something. You have to put him in a home at that stage.
Yeah, I've never been in that position, you know, where you're playing in a third place match. Obviously, the women's national team and the bronze medals at Olympics, as Forrest alludes to, like, is so much more because you're winning the bronze, right? It's an opportunity for you to go out and claim that medal. Yeah. And it's just a different energy about the match. Whereas this one is kind of like, okay, you got to get up for it. And then once you're on the pitch, you're on the bus on the way to the stadium, you're in a locker room, then things will change a little bit. But it's guys also, their head and thoughts drifting and thinking about the upcoming club season, thinking about the fact how much or how many minutes have I logged and I don't want to get injured here. So as soon as you go into a match with that mindset, you've almost already lost. So it's about flipping that switch and getting into like the right headspace. But I'd be curious too about, you know, what Deschamps, it's his swan song, right? He obviously didn't want to be playing in this match. Tuchel will be looking to save face as well. How many changes do they make? We've been a lot of talk about France and how deep their squad is and how this B squad could go out and potentially win something at this World Cup. So maybe we do see their B squad in some regard. But I also think given the way that they performed versus Spain, there'll be a lot of guys there. Their egos will be driving it. Their pride will be driving it. And they'll be looking to save face. And you might see that from the managers as well. So there might be more to this thing than we think.
Who remembers who won last time? The third place game.
I only do because I looked it up.
Croatia.
Don't give it away.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty good guess, actually, because Croatia do well in these games. In fact, today, England-France, there's a good chance Croatia wins.
But you know what I was thinking was, because all this commercialization, I was thinking, did FIFA just start bringing in third place games? And third place games have been around since the beginning, since they started the World Cup. So I guess they wanted to take the Olympic kind of approach to things with a third place match. But there's nothing in me that with this match coming up, other than the fact that there's two of the best teams. Like if this didn't have that, I'd be out working on the front yard if this wasn't England-France playing. The truth. It does have star power, right? And I think that might get people watching just because of the star power.
It's also a great excuse not to do yard work.
Yard work is brilliant for me.
Oh,
I love it. I love digging. Yeah, it could be my next.
How much digging do you have to do?
I just dig.
He's like a dog. He's out there without anything.
The neighbor's like, oh, there's that Wong again out there digging holes.
Digging holes, putting bones in it.
Forrest is out there spraying Wonger with a hose, trying to deter him from digging.
Bad Wonger.
Bad Wonger. Stop it.
That's why I still have a newspaper delivered, so Craig can hit me over the nose with it.
Is it a Toronto Star? Because you can read me and what I mean.
It is a Toronto Star.
Yeah. Well, Mondays, you can see me. Boy, you could have seen me in Dubs. Great colors.
That's right. I know.
What was I going to say? I remember 98 Croatia winning. That's the one I do remember because I remember 98 Croatia was maybe the story of the World Cup. They kind of came from nowhere. That's Davor Šuka led. Croatia, they played brilliant football and they could have won the World Cup that year.
Yeah, but
they got the third. I remember that. It was just, that was a celebration for a third place. Like, wow, look at Croatia. Yeah.
Korea in 2002.
Did they win it?
They didn't win. They lost to Turkey.
I
do remember that. And I remember that run, that Korean run was so sensational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just kind of went, oh, it's a whole new world. And I also, was it on Sportsnet, Gregor? You were
in 02? So
no, it's on TSN. Was it?
TSN, I think.
Yeah. But it was, I just remember you working nonstop, but it was also so enjoyable to see different faces in these matches, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of a sudden some African teams that came out and the Asian teams, and you're like, oh, this is the World Cup. This is what it does, right?
It was a good World Cup, I remember.
It was.
I mean, maybe you remember fondly, but Brazil, right? When Brazil win the World Cup, you remember it fondly because they just look good winning World Cups.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of missed that, right?
Mm-hmm. But that's who maybe the third place matches aren't for. They're not for the ones that were tabbed to potentially lift the World Cup. They're tabbed for the ones that maybe surprise the dark horses, like the Morocco versus Croatia, where there it's another platform to showcase these players and maybe the young stars. So maybe going back to England versus France, maybe it's a chance to see Kobe Mainoo. Right, well, to see
remember him
mm-hmm.
Jordan Henderson.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be relegated to the sidelines regardless of what's happening.
I heard last night full kit, he broke his ankle last night.
Osteoporosis. It's gonna come for all of you eventually.
But that's except maybe where the interest for the third place matches might come from a fan standpoint, but then also for the players. It's to get out there again, to test yourself versus the best. And it's for, you know, somebody like you, Wong, or even me following the World Cup, a chance to see these players again and to see them tested in a different way. Whereas now, this is not what England wanted, and this is certainly not what France wanted. So well, it's, that,
yeah, I was saying that I was going to ask you, Dubs, if you were put in a position to sell this game, you just answered the question, but that was my question. Like, what would you tell people to look for? And it's because, hey, here an opportunity to see.
Look for the helpers.
There you go.
Says Mr. Rogers. Jordan Henderson, maybe. There we go. We're back to him.
They should wheel him out.
They'd be hilarious.
The guy has had more things happen to him for somebody who hasn't played a minute.
Yeah,
he's been booked. He's broke his arm. Like
that's right. He was, but wasn't he in that same game?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
He played his role. That's for sure.
Yeah, he did.
Cheerleader.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, comments.
Oh, am I going? Once.
Oh, yeah. I know because you're. I didn't even add any more after the initial one.
Well, we haven't done one yet.
No, the
all right, initial. So our this initial is this is a knock on you, Wonger, a little bit. Yeah. Is based on our breakdown or the kind of post-mortem of Spain versus France, and Spain didn't show up, but Spain was also brilliant on the day. So this is Barbara Bout on YouTube. And she said, boring? Spain is a joy to watch. Poetry, artistry, all beautiful things.
Mm. True that.
Yeah, is it poetry? I mean, it's close to poetry. Even 2010, this team's more, it seems to be more 2010 than 2024. They're kind of, the tiki-taka's a little bit back this time around, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to tiki-taka plus explosiveness.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's poetry. It's incredible. But Barcelona was poetry. Their tiki-taka was poetry because they'd also score 3 or 4 goals a game. The Spain tiki-taka is a little bit more mechanical, which is why I don't know if it's poetry. Mm. I can watch it and enjoy it, and it's incredible, and it's almost impossible to break down and beat, and legendary dynasty on the horizon here. Mm. Poetry?
I don't know. I think poetry works well because it can be... Who likes poetry? Like, it can be boring.
Right? There you go.
What it isn't is theater.
Who likes poetry? It's boring. Right.
Right. We welcome your comments here on Woody Prime. Barbara, hit us up again.
Yeah. We ain't educated. Poetry sucks.
Well, it just isn't theater. That's what it is.
No.
Yeah, and that's fair. Theater. But it's a tactic, right? And it's done so well. They're able to dominate the game, and they might kill it off. There might not be any box office or fireworks, but they're able to do it because they're so technical and they're so adept. They're such a team, and it's that expressed, even though it's not progressive. They're not seeking to go anywhere with it. They're seeking to possess for the sake of possession, which is, I think, what a lot of people find boring.
And maybe
I think you can still respect it.
Yeah, but I just to defend my comment, and maybe I didn't describe it well enough, it was the France's kind of giving up any different ways to approach the match that made it boring, like their frustration to me. And it wasn't about, I mean, Spain was brilliant and the way they controlled the match. And I'm trying to learn more and appreciate that. But it was also because France just didn't have an idea. And that it was more about how that affects the opposite team. There, that patience and that poetry actually affects France's approach and how they can't kind of figure them out. So that's, and I did find that very, like, it was like, it was almost like Tuchel, you're like creating predictability within a match, which is the exact opposite of what I want to see for sports. That's all.
I think that's fair, because I think that was part of my disappointment with the match as well, is that I found myself rooting for France and they didn't show up. So it was the resignation and the apathy on the day and how they went against, you know, Spain's plan and like the way that they existed in that structure and how well they executed everything. But it was the lack of response from France. I think that I see what your point there about defending the boring, that it's not an accusation levied at Spain.
No,
it's the entirety of the match and how there was a lack of response from France.
Spain is also doing this without a fully fit Lamine Yamal and without Nico Williams available.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that would be a very different Spain, more dynamic.
Because that's your punch, right? That's your punch. You have it a bit with Poro and you have it a bit with Cucurella and the dynamism in the flanks, but then you add to it and you just level up that kind of theater as Forrest is talking about when you have that dynamic, fast running 1v1 players were like 1-2 punch in both of those channels, which you would have if you had a healthy Williams and you had a healthy, like firing on all cylinders, Lamine Yamal. And you just don't, but they're still able to put out that type of performance like they did versus France.
Which is incredible. You take away those. I mean, listen, Lamal's played well. Don't get me wrong. He's played well, but he's not been the Yamal that we expected to see because of the injury. And he could still turn up on Sunday.
Did I you call him Yamal again?
I did. Yes, I did. It's going to kill me. The next 20 years of his career, I'm doing the same thing. I know I am. I've got some alternatives to poetry, though, here to describe what we've seen from Spain so far. Verse, they're more of a verse, a broader, more neutral term that emphasizes structure rather than emotion. That's pretty good, right? A formal verse is poetry written according to established rules of rhyme, meter, and stanza.
Like iambic pentameter.
Well, great word because, thank you, Wonga. Metered verse is poetry that follows a strict rhythmic pattern. Iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
Troikaic tetrameter. Tetrameter, etc. It could be a couplet, a heroic couplet. Rhyming pairs of iambic pentameter lines, highly disciplined in form.
Mm.
So the forms of poetry, but it's not quite poetry.
Well, it is poetry. It's just a different type of poetry.
Right.
And, they have different styles. And it's like we grew up with, you know, Dr. Seuss, and he has some great style. But if you go back and have to read like Homer or Spencer or Byron, you're going to blow your head off. You need a dictionary to actually read. You have an old English dictionary that describes, like defines verbiage for you. It's horrible. No one should.
England would be more Edgar Allan Poe, right? For example.
I don't know.
Quoth the Raven.
Very, very, yeah, the Raven. Very dark, very, you know, it's not a fun read.
Yeah. It is at the start, but the last 20 minutes.
Terrible endings every time.
Who's sadder in the locker room right now? Like, who's got to build himself up more? Wouldn't it be the recency loss from England? Like, even that day of, hey, there's a day less to consume your loss, where at least France was, as we were talking about the ride home on the bus and you're staring at the back of the seat, you're like, oh, we just didn't perform. I'm going to perform now. I think France is going to beat England. That's what I'm going to say.
France, I think it'd be France's B team will beat England. I think there'll be a ton of changes on both sides. Everybody's going to get playing time.
Cherky starts, hat trick.
Anderson might get a game.
Yeah, he might get in there.
The goalkeeper.
France have 2018 to hang their hat on, right? They got that World Cup victory. But they also must be in that room because they were so overconfident. There must be that, man, we're letting another one slip by here, which must lead to a depression. Whereas England, they did still lose to Argentina, the world champions, and Lionel Messi.
Oh, you're spinning.
I'm trying to spin here. I'm putting myself in that room.
Sharms. You've moved through the anger.
You're trying to rationalize.
Okay.
He's going to apologize to us at some point, right? Like,
when mentions, you know, stages. Inside the room there, my vision was just seeing Jude Bellingham sitting there with his head between his legs, just like looking down, like looking before the match. You know, I'm picturing what must have been the scenes in the room of both teams after the last loss. That is transferred to before the match today, right? Which isn't really how it should be in sports. So who should be more? What was the question again, Wonga? More?
Who's more depressed? Again? No.
What's the question again?
It was like who is having the hardest time to build himself up for today's match?
Can we play the big question intro and then we can ask that question again?
1, 2, 3, boom.
Ring, ring. What's that sound? Big question that needs answer. Ring.
What was the question again?
Wonga, you have a question for us, Wonga.
Oh, the question is, what side, France or England, needs the most building up to get ready for today's match because of their last match's performance?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
Yeah.
we've had a dry run with the answer so far.
It's a big question that does need answering. I think it's more difficult for England because they're, I think it's the devastation. I think they felt like it was their time. You know, they were a team of moments, even not playing their best football, that they were able to show up with Kane on six goals, with Bellingham on six goals, the way that they'd done it to get past Mexico at the Azteca. Like, it just felt like it was theirs. And then let down by their players, their manager, decisions, you know, the way that they couldn't see out that match. And I think it's going to be a tough pill to swallow for them. And so I think, to Forrest's point, you're going to need an injection of new blood, of fresh blood, players who maybe haven't even seen the pitch this tournament, to maybe change the narrative a little bit. And I think France, on an extra day rest, will be looking to, I don't know, do a lot better, because you look at the performance of Elise, that front three, it was Barcola over Doué, comes in as a substitute, but Mbappe, as the captain, didn't really perform. Dembele, reigning Ballon d'Or winner, didn't really perform. So they're going to be looking to kind of avenge the fact that they lost to Spain. And I wouldn't want to be the team facing them there.
And the golden boot's still up for grabs.
Oh,
correct.
That's ridiculous. They shouldn't count this game.
Why
not? You're going to play it.
But isn't that,
you're making it have meaning. Yeah. So you're not going to count the stats.
It's a friendly. It's not competitive. Come on. I never thought of that. But it shouldn't be.
Yeah,
Mbappe's going to score three. If Mbappe gets the golden boot because he gets a hat-trick in the third place game, give me a friggin' break.
You're going to play ludicrous. The match, then everything counts. Everything's up for grabs.
I love that Sharp's just found a loophole that he's getting upset about.
He's like, I know. This is bullshit. Okay, wait, I've got another comment that I think is going to wind Sharp's up further. So it's going to be good
that's
here.
That's just what I need.
Yes. So we talked about Paraguay a couple of pods ago and like the dark arts and everything that they did there. So this is, I can't even read who this is from. Wait, let me make the screen bigger. Stand by. This is from Bernard JKD. Yeah, on YouTube. I'm sorry, but Paraguay were fantastically competitive in this World Cup. I'm going to consifer. Is that a word?
Consider. I think it was saying.
Yeah, I think they're trying to say like they're not going to no longer subscribe to the channel. Also, I am frequently hearing too many English accents in your lineup.
What? There's one.
Junior Canuck One comes to our defense. What are you talking about? The only Englishman in this group is Sharms. That is one of the things that I love about Footy Prime, is that it highlights the excellence of three ex-Canadian players, and Wonger is Canadian too. Also JC. But you can target TSN for that. Shows like Park the Bus with an Englishman, a Scot, and an Irishman make you feel like you're in a British pub as they talk about their old football days in England. I've also often posted that they need to bring on Deb, I think he means me, Dubs. That's another nickname for me, Sharms. Craig or Jimmy. On that show as a permanent member so that us born and raised Canadians can relate better to their show on Canadian television. Mm. Make some good points.
Yeah, but then they pay and then we lose whoever it is from Footy Prime. Stay away, broadcasters, from our people.
Our people.
But offer also, them a career. Please hire us.
Yeah, at the same time, we're available.
Hire the whole crew. Is that not a real problem?
Well, yeah. I love those comments, though, criticizing the English, the accents. Like, when there's one of us, and everyone you mentioned there, by the way, in both channels are all Canadians. Just so you know. I made that very clear. This anti-accent thing, I've been there for 30-odd years. Yeah. 36 years. I sound a bit different, so I'm not Canadian. We could go down a little pathway there and consider some of your other beliefs, couldn't we? Mm. Xenophobe? Yeah. Are you also a racist?
Oh, dear. I'll also say that TSN panel, particularly Luke and the one that we're seeing now for the semifinals and the finals with Atiba, Stevie, and Kevin, they've been outstanding. They've been very entertaining.
Yeah, we should very quickly as we wrap the show today. This has been a slog for us. I can't imagine how hard it's been for the boys and girls in TSN, day in and day out. Mm-hmm. They have done a fantastic job. It's looked great, sounded great. And of course, they're going to piss people off. That's what analysis is all about sometimes.
You three on the top row, though, you also traveled extensively and Dubs more Toronto, Montreal, back and forth, but all over the place. Were you guys at any point just exhausted during this run where you're like, because I know, I know we've all been to that point where we're like, another one, another. And we're like, tell me, like, how did you push through it? And I know Dubs has a mantra. So Dubs, why don't you start with your mantra and how you push through it sometimes?
And it's also one that I say to myself in a mirror prior to pods sometimes.
I'm good enough. I'm strong enough.
No, no, that too.
Like me.
No, I get to talk about soccer for a living. And it's a privilege. It really is. But it still doesn't take away the fact that it can be a grind sometimes. And for us, doing five matches in Toronto doesn't get to cover the last one, which is maybe the most brilliant one between Croatia and Portugal. And then they ship them off across the country to Seattle. And I know you loved your time, Forrest, but like the time change, hopping on the podcast really early in the morning, and Sharms too, all the travel that you did from Charlotte to Montreal to Toronto to Vancouver, Edmonton, of course, I forgot Edmonton, and then in Houston, LA. Yeah. I mean, must have been difficult for you guys. I just had to go back and forth between Montreal and Toronto.
Honestly, I mean, it's been a slog at times, but like you said, we're watching football for a living. When I have to work a week in my kitchen for Shaman's Proper Pies and I'm cooking for a week, that's exhaustion. That's proper exhaustion.
Real life.
I'm done.
Yeah.
So we really can't complain. Of course, you get tired. Traveling can be tiresome, but not tiresome, tiring. It's so much fun.
Yeah. It's tough fun. Watching four games a day.
On the couch.
You know?
I know.
Yeah, do we have careful, time right? for one
yeah,
more?
Yeah.
What, you're going to really love this, Sharms.
Oh, God, no.
So this is from a friend of the show.
Oh, Tony. My boy, Tony.
Iacchiaviello. Am I saying the name right?
Iacchiaviello. Yeah.
Yeah. So he says, dear English soccer fans, for example, James Sharman, don't wait four more years. Swap your jersey for Argentina or even Spain. Plenty of roadside vendors clearing out their inventory. My God, inventory as we speak. Maybe pick up a flag and make your conversion complete. So he sees Footy Prime, and he's been sitting on this for a while, which we appreciate, Tony. And it's Canada Soccer's post from the beginning of April, where controversially they asked Italian soccer fans who had not qualified for the World Cup yet again to swap their Italian jersey for a Canadian kit.
That is good. That is quite amusing. Yeah, he's been sitting for a while.
Sharms, well done, he swapped Tony. His jersey, but just for a Japanese one.
Yeah. Japan.
That's it. He already did.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Love my Japanese team. Absolutely. Yeah. It was fun, England, but you let me down in the end. So again, so many times you can be, I won't make a reference there. That's inappropriate. But there's only so many times you can be shown the door and keep knocking on that door to walk back through when it's time to look in the mirror and stare yourself in the eyes.
In 6 years on your deathbed, you'll still be cheering.
Of course I will. Of course I will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an anger, hope cycle. That's what it is.
Yeah. I can't believe you let that slide. I gave you six more years to live.
There's no chance.
They might win the Nations League or something like that.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know, having not never won it, does it count? Is it a trophy? Does it really?
Yeah, I know. Does it really?
Those that have won it, let me know. Fans of teams that have won the Nations League, no matter what region of the world, does it really count?
If Canada won, we'd be pretty happy about it.
I guess. Certain teams. It's like the third place game for certain teams. It means a lot.
Mm.
Right? You got to start somewhere. But I don't see the street people flooding onto the streets or the Champs-Élysées. What's Champs-Élysées? I can't think.
Champs-Élysées.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when they win the Nations League, if France win it, I don't think.
Footy Prime running along Parliament
with a flag.
Yeah.
I can see it now.
The five of us, the six of us.
Buck naked, stalking.
More street.
Okay. Well, listen, we should go. The third place game. is coming up. Maybe you'll enjoy it, you know, with no pressure whatsoever. Maybe I'm curious actually how I feel during it. Will I feel pressure or not? Probably bloody pressure, which is ridiculous. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Legendary.
Until tomorrow, when guess what? It's the World Cup final. Argentina, Spain. We'll be here, same time, same place.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com to sign up for our newsletter.
You know when a show goes better than you expected?
Yeah, I know. Like most shows. I was a bit worried about content. Why do I ever get worried about content?
Well, I can understand.
You guys can talk the ass off a rotting horse.
Yeah.
Ass off
a dog off a meat wagon.
Is that that old Charmin comment that you would throw out?
It was a couplet. It was actually a couplet.
Talk a glass eye to sleep.
That's a good one.
That is good. All right, I gotta go. I'm leaving.
Didn't see that one.
Me too.
Go Japan.